Hello, horror fiends, and welcome to Guess What You're Wrong, the podcast where we dive into all things horror and spoil the hell out of every movie we discuss. With me, Big D, as your host, be prepared for a terrifyingly good time. From classic slasher flicks to contemporary horror masterpieces, we're going to explore the genre from every angle that we can and leave no stone unturned. Horror, Prince, and Shine. New conversations, same podcast. So buckle up, Bonehead, because you're going for a ride.
Enjoy the show!
Now, before we get into this episode too far, I just got a little disclaimer here. First off, all audio used in this podcast is used under the protection of fair use. And as with all the movie reviews that I do here on Guess What You're Wrong, we're going to spoil the hell out of every single thing we talk about. So, you have been warned.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic. It lives to kill. A mindless eating machine. It will attack and devour anything. It is as if God created the devil and gave him jaws. This is Universal's extraordinary motion picture version of Peter Benchley's best-selling novel, Jaws.
I just found out that a girl got killed here last week, and you knew it. You knew there was a shark out there. You knew it was dangerous, but you let people go swimming anyway.
It's all psychological. You yell barracuda. Everybody says, huh? What? You yell shark. We've got a panic on our hands on the 4th of July.
Is it true that most people get attacked by sharks in 3 feet of water, about 10 feet from the beach?
Yeah.
What we are dealing with here is a perfect engine. An eating machine.
We're not only going to have to close the beach, we're going to have to hire somebody to kill the shark.
Bad fish. But I'll catch him and kill him.
Did you hear your father? Out of the water now!
This shark, swallow you whole.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
That's a 20-footer.
25. 3 tons of them.
He's coming straight
for us. Don't screw it up now. Don't wait for me. Now! Shoot!
Watch the tail!
Give him room! I can't! He's trying to run! Oh! Come quick! I can't hold it!
None of man's fantasies of evil can compare with the reality of Jaws. Roy Scheider, Robert Shaw, Richard Dreyfuss, Jaws. See it before you go swimming.
So, Kelvin.
Yes.
What does this make you think of?
We'll be right back. I'm assuming it's the Jaws theme song.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. God damn it. Hello and welcome back to another Galliophobia inducing episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Now today, in case you don't know what Galliophobia means, it's the fear of sharks.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, but... I was just generally going to ask that, but yeah, keep going.
Yep, and today we are joined by Kelvin.
Hello.
As we discuss Jaws from 1975.
Man, this old.
Dude, I was a year old when this came out.
That's crazy to me. Because I know, relative to my mom's age, it came out, I think, 4 years before she was born.
Yeah.
It's weird to think about.
Your mom's a youngin.
True.
For anybody that's been locked in a closet or buried beneath a rock and has no idea what Jaws is about, give you a brief synopsis. When a killer shark unleashes chaos on a beach community off of Cape Cod, it's up to a local sheriff, a marine biologist, and an old seafarer to hunt the beast down. Well, that's kind of fair, except for it's off of Amity. Not Cape Cod, but it was filmed in Cape Cod, I guess.
Yeah, that's what they, but whatever. The point gets across.
Yeah, those synopses are never really 100, you know. But
I will say that in preparation for this podcast, it's the first time I'd ever seen this movie. I know all about it. I've seen the scene where the the crazy seafarer guy.
Robert Shaw plays Quint.
Quint. Okay, there you go. Yeah. Sam Quint, right? That's his first name? Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
this, I remember his death scene. I think it was just because it was on TV a bunch, and I'd seen that scene prior, and that stuck with me. But other than that, I didn't really know much about the movie. I know the theme song. I knew it was what came up with the term blockbuster.
Yeah.
Was this movie.
Yeah, the three main people in this movie here is Roy Scheider as Brody. Like we said, Robert Shaw as Quint, Richard Dreyfuss as Hooper. There's other, characters throughout the movie. Lorraine Gary plays Ellen Brody, and there's a bunch of other characters, but the three main
The main three are what actually drive this movie forward.
Makes the movie really.
Yeah. True. Like Quint's the best part for me. Quint and Hooper. I like Hooper a lot. Yeah,
Hooper. Hooper's good. I like Hooper.
I feel like Brody's just the straight man of the film.
Yeah, he's just the he's the unknowing cop that just got. He's just like what?
Yeah. He's trying to do his best because he's trying to help the people of his town.
Yeah, but, Quint is he's an old curmudgeon seafarer guy. Hooper's a marine biologist, a shark expert. So yeah,
he's also a Richie.
Yeah, we find that out. But Brody's the odd man out. He's just like, he wanted to leave New York City.
Was a city cop, and he was just wanted to get out of that.
Now this movie, that music is iconic.
Yes, that's like one of the only things I knew about this movie was the that whole all of that.
Yeah, and it's been copied and redone so many times in different movies for different
in parody,
all kinds of stuff.
I'm pretty sure this is gonna date me, but like when I was a child, it was Shark Tale, I believe, the Will Smith and Jack Black animated movie that's in it. And I think it was the first time I ever heard it.
Nice. Now I gotta tell you, I don't even remember how old I was when I first saw this movie. I was a year old when it came out, so
I mean. Knowing you,
I was probably.
I'd have to guess you watched this at like 8 or 5 or something. You probably watched this real young.
I think this might have been one of those movies that I saw with my mom, at a drive-in.
Gotcha.
Because we used to go to the drive-in, and they always had the double, triple features and stuff. And I have a feeling that this was one of those movies.
I didn't know that.
The drive-in. Yeah, you go there, you pay. It was like $10 for a carload of people, so you could fit like 10 people in a car. It only costs $10 to get in, and then you get like 2 or 3 movies.
I wish we still had that. That'd be awesome.
They're thinking about bringing one to Sanford.
Really?
Yeah, they've been tossing that idea around out there.
I've thrown it towards Spring Lane Cinemas, but they haven't caught on anything. But yeah. Besides that,
yeah. But this movie, I gotta tell you, this movie is the only reason that I'm afraid of sharks. That I hate sharks. That they scare the shit out of me.
Okay, I'm gonna be honest. I remember we were watching this movie. I just don't have that same fear at all. At all. I think it's because probably in high school, like, I dissected a shark. And even then, I watched a lot of Shark Week. And in Shark Week, they kind of explain, like, it's mostly humans' faults the reason they end up attacking
a person. Doesn't matter. They still can attack you. And they got
look, it's a scary creature. I get it. It can rip you limb to limb. I get it.
You know, and I got to, you know, I used to scuba dive. And
it's God's killing machine.
Yeah, it's the wolves of the sea is what they are. The wolves of the sea.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I used to scuba dive. And that was one of my that was one of my things to try and get over my fear of sharks. I wanted to go down there, and I was fine for a long time because I never saw a shark that when I was scuba diving. You know, I'd go down there with friends and stuff, and we just, you know, dick around, find shark teeth and see fish. And all. And one time I saw a shark.
And now I remember you told me this, and you were like, "I'm done."
And I've never been back scuba diving since. And
that's crazy to me. Like, I get it because, like, I've gone scuba diving a couple times. Never seen a shark at either of the times, but I don't think there were sharks in Key West. There are. Okay, we never saw them, so I was fine. But even if I did see one, I think it'd be all right because it'd be like, it's probably not gonna, unless it's a great white. If it's the shark in this movie, then you should be worried.
Yeah.
Cause this one specifically, I don't know what the shark's problem is, but it only wants to eat people and just murder everybody in its sight.
The only shark that I wouldn't mind seeing is a nurse shark. They're like the sharks, they're all the aquariums. They have the mouth on the bottom of their body, and they kind of...
They're sharks.
They kind of just go around on the bottom of
the... Oh, yeah. They kind of remind me of catfish, because they have, like, the little tendrils in front of them. Yeah.
Everything else out there, to hell with them. I don't like them. and you remember when we did that Freedom Swim? You did it that one year with me.
Yes, yeah. I remember.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Dude.
And you found out afterwards that there were sharks in the water.
Yeah, I mean, they're catching hammerheads and bull sharks right there where I got stranded from everybody else. I was like, the hell with this.
Did he get stranded that one time we were going out?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. We went, because I remember we were going out, and I lost everyone for a while, but then my friend Matt was on a paddleboard from high school, so I was like, oh, he just let me ride on his paddleboard for a little bit.
Nice. Yeah, that's so nice. The guy, when we started off, the guy goes, you know, aim for the blue house or the red house, whatever it was.
Yeah. Like, it's like a, so it was a restaurant, I think.
Yeah, and he said, the tide will take you over to where everybody meets on the other side. I was like, cool. So I'm swimming my ass off toward this blue house or whatever it is. And I must have been self-correcting. I don't know. But I just kept aiming for that blue house. And then when I stopped swimming and I got up and look around, everybody's like 200 yards from me, dude. And I'm like in the middle, right? You know where the bridge is. I was almost underneath the bridge.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's because we were curving more to the right, and you must have been just still correcting towards the house.
And as soon as I stopped and looked around, every single shark movie, every single shark death went through my head.
Oh, no.
And I was like, nah, dude. I went to the nearest boat and I was like, can you guys just take me over to the crowd of people? It's like, you got to take me in. Just take me to where the people are at.
Yes, exactly.
And then I was dumb enough to do it the next year, too.
No, I remember that. I did it the one year and I was done. You know what's funny, though? It must have been because you've watched this movie before.
Yeah.
Because, again, I'd never seen this, so I never had that. And that being said, I say this, Final Destination 3, you know that scene with the roller coaster? I was terrified of roller coasters after that. I didn't ride one until I was, like, 13.
Yeah. It probably has a lot to do with me seeing this movie at such a young age.
Yeah, no, I get that. Because especially that... The beginning scene with the child is pretty horrifying.
Yeah, that's in a little bit.
Where
they're all out there. Oh,
it's got that iconic shot with Brody where it does the zoom in.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, the opening scene, not even the opening scene, just that first kill.
Yeah,
you know, with Chrissy and some guy, I don't know movie was.
I think his name is Tom, I think.
I don't know, but the idiot passes out on the beach and you, I don't know. You have a naked woman swimming out in the ocean waiting for you.
That's, yeah, I know. Like how? You got to push through.
But no, he passes out and she dies. That was the first. And that scene, you know, I was reading in some of the trivia, they tied like weights around her.
What?
And why? And it was controlled by a pulley system on the beach. So that way, you know how she gets jerked under.
Yes.
They kept pulling it and it would jerk her down and it would freak her out. So, and she was really, really scared. So the fear that she's showing on this is actually real. She really starts getting scared.
Sounds a lot like Blair Witch.
Yeah, there's no like, hey, we're gonna pull you down now. They just been yanking her down.
They just did it, yeah.
Damn,
idiot. That's kind of, I feel like it's real unsafe, but hey.
Yeah.
This is the 70s, so.
Yeah, there wasn't too much care for actor safety back then, I guess.
Yeah, it's back when they threw wolves off cliffs for a film.
Yeah. And, you know, and one thing that struck me as odd, which, you know, when Sheriff Brody wakes up, him and his wife are in bed. They wake up. The kids are already outside playing, and they're not older kids. They're younger kids.
Yeah, one of them's like maybe 3 or 4.
And the other one's like maybe
7. Yeah.
They have like a 14-year-old, too, or something like that. You know, he's a teenager. But, you know, and having kids now and being older, if I woke up and my kids were outside playing, I'd be pissed. You know, if I was the only one in the house. Like, well, what the hell are you guys doing outside?
Yeah, why did you just leave? Yeah, true. Yeah,
but then thinking back, that's how we did things when I was little.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm like, now? Yeah, sure. But this was the 70s. So, like, it's a different story.
Yeah. And, well, you know, right off the bat here, Brody does say, hey, it's a shark attack. when they bring in, you know, the scene when they have Hooper, when Hooper wants to see the body. And they unravel, I don't know, what is it, a chunk of her torso with an arm?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just the top of her body, yeah.
And how can you say that was a, you know, and the mayor, what is it, mayor or whatever is trying to say that, nah, no, it's a boat. It was a propeller accident or something.
Yeah.
Like, dude.
I don't think you've ever seen a propeller accident.
Not like that. I mean, goddamn.
Oh, this is just a little weird thing I just found out, but. Apparently, the child who first gets killed on the beach, his name is Alex Kinter, but his real life name is Jeffrey Voorhees.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's kind of crazy to me.
That's cool.
I would want to change my last name. I mean, it sounds cool, but I would just think it'd be, you know, cursed.
Well, I think Friday the 13th didn't come out till about 10 years after.
Oh, yeah, it didn't. Yeah, true. So it wouldn't even have really any impact. That's kind of crazy. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, that one scene where I've cut up open a shark before. I can't even imagine what the insides of a human smell like.
Ugh.
It's yeah, no. That's the only thing I've ever dissected, by the way. At least in school, that's the only thing they ever gave us was a shark.
Yeah, you grew up in Florida. That's why. See, I grew up
when
I had to dissect my animal, it was a baby pig.
That's what you guys had out there was just a bunch of pigs.
So that's why I'm not afraid of pigs.
I guess that's why I'm not afraid of sharks.
But yeah, then, you know, this whole, you know, they called somebody from, I don't even remember what the name, the Oceanographic Institute or something.
It's exactly what it is, yep.
And the scene where, you know, they offer $3,000 anybody kill this shark.
And then it just becomes insanity.
Oh my gosh! First of all, we have Quint comes in and is like, you know, it'll be $10,000, and I'll get this.
Oh yes, for you. And then he's like, give me $10,000, and it'll be done. Don't even worry about it. I got it.
And then everybody, they're like, yeah, no, we got $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
So then, it becomes nuts. You know, everybody and their mother that has a, you know, a John boat.
And it's so unsafe. People are just like throwing sticks of dynamite in the sea. Like they got like 12 people in like a 4-people boat. It's like you're all gonna die.
Yeah, that's when Hooper comes into the scene. You know,
he's Brody's yelling at everybody.
Brody's like, tell them to get off the boat. And they didn't listen, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no.
So,
but also, like, I mean, this is like a a summer kind of town. So like half the people are drunk as well. So they're like,
Yeah. And this is, well, it's actually before this scene is when the kid gets killed. When everybody is.
No. Yeah. This is what causes the $3,000 to go out.
Yeah. Because like one of the ladies that owns a hotel there on Amity is the one that puts up the $3,000 to catch the shark.
It's her son that dies, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know if it's her son. I think it's just some rando lady that owned a hotel.
Oh, okay.
But
Because I don't think you see the mom until when she's in the shroud later.
Yeah, when she slept.
Really. Yeah.
And there's a piece of trivia that I was reading here too that years later that lady that plays Alex Kintner's mom went into a restaurant. And they were serving like the Alex Kintner burger or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some kind of sandwich or something named after Alex Kintner from the movie.
Okay.
And she was like, oh, you know what's so interesting is I played Alex Kintner's mom in that movie. Then they're like, oh, really? And they bring out the owner of this restaurant and it's the kid that played Alex.
Are you serious? Yeah. That's awesome. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And so they got to meet again. That's so cool.
That's pretty damn cool.
That is so cool.
But yeah, that scene where, you know, he's just floating around on one of those little yellow blow up floaty thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this scene, I mean, you see the Alex is gone and you see like the fin roll, the shark roll.
Yeah. Underneath. Yeah.
And that's where they show that close up of Brody. And you're like, oh, shit.
It's the best shot in the film. Like, yeah. It's just so unnerving because like you know he's like it's supposed to show his feeling of him just freaking out because this is what he was worried about and this is what his wife is like, calm down, don't worry about it. But yeah, this is what exactly he thought was gonna happen.
Yeah,
and it happened. And let alone to a kid, like of all things a child.
Yeah, I know. And that's like there's things that are kind of almost are supposed to be like taboo in movies, you know.
Yeah, like kids, yeah, killing kids a kid
killed,
yeah.
And if we've learned anything from John Wick, you don't kill dogs. You know,
so. Well, you don't kill a dog unless you want to get killed by John Wick. That's the rule.
Yeah. And what this scene here where you got these two guys out in this dock and they got the guys got this wife's holiday roast.
Oh, are you talking about like later at night?
Yeah. They're at night.
Yes.
They're at a small dock and they got this and roast. They just throw it out.
And they're just trying to like.
It's because everybody wants the $3,000.
I get it. It's a lot of money. Even now, like I would take $3,000, but it's not worth your life.
Not to kill her, and then not to use your wife's holiday roast.
Yeah, I know, right? Like they're gonna be using that for dinner probably the next night. But he's like, yeah. No, I'm gonna use it now.
Yeah, but no. So well,
they both live too, though, right?
Yeah. They almost die.
Yeah, that one dude who getting pulled. Yeah, he nearly dies. But yeah,
but they make it.
And I think we talked about it too. It's like he decides to try to go up the broken dock instead of going around.
And I'm
like, why would you?
it's not like a huge dock. It's maybe I don't know 20 foot.
Yeah,
long.
No. Yeah, it's not that far in. Like you could go around and you'd be fine. Probably. Yeah,
he could have swam right to shore, but instead he's trying to get back on the dock.
Yeah, no.
What an idiot! What an idiot! But then, you know, we're skipping around in the movie here, but it doesn't matter. But
a little bit after that is, though, when they find the tiger shark, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's when the scene that when they're all like, yeah, we got the shark. We got him.
Yeah.
And that's when Hooper's up there measuring the jaws and everything like that.
Yep. And he's like, I don't know. I like to know for sure. I'd have to cut this thing open.
Yeah. Now, you know where they got that shark from? Because that was a real shark.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I mean,
the first shark.
It looked realistic. So, yeah, I don't doubt that. But
the first shark that got killed that was on the docks there, which was supposed to be the Maneater, was actually a real shark killed in Florida. Since there wasn't a big enough one in Martha's Vineyard for them to use. Now, they had to ship that shark from Florida all the way up to Martha's Vineyard. And in the 70s,
where's Martha's Vineyard?
That's off of New York City. Oh, so okay. There, or Maine. It's in Maine. I think it's off the coast of Maine.
It's near there. Gotcha.
So the shipping wasn't that efficient like it was, like it is today. Well, if you can call it efficient today, but
it's better.
Needless to say, this shark on its trip to Martha's Vineyard was decomposing. So that smell, that shark, it smells, from what they said and trivia here, that it smells so bad that people didn't want to go near it.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy to think about, too, because like they're really close to that shark from a lot of the scenes.
And at one point, because of how they got it hanging, all the internal organs kind of
like sludged down
to the top towards the head, and it released this big gaseous odor, and people were like,
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine. Because I'm thinking of that shark I dissected, because it didn't smell great. But I'm thinking about that, but like 10 times worse. And
Now, you know, Peter Benchley wrote this book, the original book.
See, I didn't know it was a book either. Yeah. Like, same thing as, what was it? What was it that you did recently?
The Meg.
Yeah, I didn't know it was a book either.
Yeah, Peter Benchley wrote this book, and I have never read the book, and I'm probably going to get an audio book because I've been hearing a lot about it, you know, doing research for this movie. But
I'm going to have to pick it up.
Evidently, Peter Benchley got thrown off of the set after objecting to a lot of things in the movies, and they fired him
supervising the movie. Yeah.
Because he had too many subplots. He was trying to add in, you know, romance and mafia intrigue. He was trying to add all this shit to the movie. Get out of here, dude.
It's one of those things too, where like that works. It's like the same thing with like Stephen King and The Shining. There's like so much stuff that is in that book to add on to the movie that sometimes just it's Jurassic Park, same scenario. Like the book, there's too much.
Yeah,
that it's easier to simplify things, especially for a whole like you're reaching a broader audience. Because I hate to say it, but not a lot of people that just read books.
Yeah. I get a bunch of audiobooks now because it's easier when I'm driving.
I just can't do it. I've tried it before. I don't like someone reading to me like that. It seems weird.
Dude, I went through the Meg and The Trench already.
I need to start picking up reading again, though. I haven't read in a bit.
Yeah. Reading. Anymore, when I have time to sit down and read, I get tired and I just start falling asleep.
That's why, like, we got the hammock in the back now. I'm like, I just need to go out back there. Just go out there, read.
And sleep for a couple hours.
Yeah, I did pass out there the other night. I woke up in an hour.
Now, this scene here where Brody and Hooper head off on this boat at night.
Oh, yeah, and Hooper's like yacht, basically.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, first of all, Brody's afraid of the water.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah.
And he says right away, I'm not drunk enough. And Hooper's like, oh, yeah, you are. And he gets him out there on the boat, and it's dark. And
I forgot, do they say where his fear of water comes from? I can't remember.
I don't think they directly say. I know that his wife is just like, he has this fear. It's called, it's called drowning.
drowning.
But, this scene where they're out there at night, and Hooper gets this bright idea that he's going to suit up and jump into the water because they find this boat floating around.
Now, look, I get where he's coming from. You got to find more information. He is the scientist in this situation. He needs to, you know, make sure his hypothesis is correct. So he's going down there.
Now,
because he thinks that shark that's out there isn't the one that killed him, and they cut him open, and he's pretty sure he's right. So he's got to find out.
Yeah, I would tie off that boat that's floating around there and drag it in. I would not. He dives in there, finds a tooth, a huge shark tooth.
Well, that's also a thing about Hooper's whole character. I think he's not as scared of these sharks as everyone else because Brady.
Yeah, he tells that story too.
Brody has an innate fear of the water. So, of course, he's going to have a fear of that what's in there.
Yep.
And then Quint. We know it. We're going to get to his story later on, but of course he's going to fear sharks.
Yeah.
So I feel like Hooper's that middle ground where he's like, I've studied these things. They are creatures, but they're not innately evil, except this one. This one might be.
Well, I would argue that sharks are evil.
Look, that's like saying a lion's evil, okay? It's just doing what it does.
They're just scary.
Yeah.
And yeah, sharks and, sharks and alligators, I have no use for them.
Oh, no, alligators I don't mess with. I think it's just because I'm a Floridian and I'm like, I know not to. Yeah.
Now, I know nature has a use for them, but, you know, I don't. So
yeah, no human does, no. Except for, what's his name? Not Crocodile Dundee, but the other dude, the real life
guy. He died.
Steve Irwin, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, his son's out there. His son was on Shark Week. His son's doing
Yeah, I know. Now. He's still doing the same stuff. It's awesome. I Steve Irwin's I feel like a national treasure.
Oh, yeah. He's an iconic guy. I mean,
yeah.
The way he was so excited about, he's face to face with these dangerous animals, and he's like, oh, my God, crikey.
Yeah, because it was just like, he was just excited by the nature of these things, like how they acted. Like, it was yeah. There was no one like him except for his son now.
Yeah. And his son, unfortunately, I think his son tries to do the same kind of moniker. You know, he's
yeah, I think, yeah, yeah. He's trying to do the same. But I mean,
calm down a little bit.
I get it.
Do your own gig, dude.
I get it, though, because you want to live up to your dad's shoes. I mean, yeah. I understand where he's coming from.
I do, too.
Either way, it's still cool to see.
When I was watching him on Shark Week, I was just kind of like, dude, you're trying too much.
To be your dad, yeah.
To mimic your dad. I was like, you know, it's fine. You're following in your father's footsteps. Try and do something a little bit different, though. Make it your own, but, you know.
But he's still young, too, though. Yeah. So, you know, he might step out.
Now, boy, this movie, I'm telling you, it goes on and on and on. There's so much.
It's so funny, too, because, like,
very stress-inducing, is what it is.
I will say the last 40 minutes are the most stress inducing.
Yeah, because you're gonna need a bigger
boat. As soon as they go out to the water, honestly, that's when it's like, okay, I don't know what's gonna happen.
Well, we have this next bit of scenes here. We have the mayor is like, no, we're not closing the beach down.
God, we haven't talked about the mayor at all. This fucking mayor.
This guy's a dick. Oh my God,
he's just the worst. He doesn't like it's. It's the stereotypical like mayor thing where it's like, we got to worry about the money. We got to worry about like, this is the summer bucks is where we're going to get in.
Yeah. And we understand it's a tourist town and summer. And honestly, these types of small towns like this rely on tourism during a certain season. Without that tourism there, that town's likely going to go bankrupt and go broke.
Of course. But guess what? You're going to go bankrupt either way because the people are going to get eaten by the shark.
Yeah, I think the way he handles it makes it worse. You know?
Yeah, that too. Yeah, yeah. Because I will say, I get where he's coming from. But it sounds really selfish because he finally gives way to Brody whenever he's like, my son was out there. Well, yeah, in that water.
That's this next bit of scenes here where he tells his kids to go over to the pond. There's like a little lagoon. It's attached to
that. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go over there, and we don't want you guys in the main beach area over here where everybody else is at. But then somebody sees that damn shark go into the lagoon. So, and this is when Michael, I think his name is Michael, Brody's son.
Yeah, yeah. It is Michael, the elder one.
He's out there with his friend. And I think he's the main guy in part 3, I believe. I don't remember. I haven't seen
the character, not the actor.
Yeah, just the character.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, of course the shark goes over there, kills some guy and, swims right past Michael and he's frozen in shock. He's just like, when I saw that movie, every time I watch this movie, when I see that scene, oh man, it just brings this fear up in me. I'm just like, no, no. And yeah, that freaks me out. But this is the scene here where the mayor's like, maybe I was wrong. Cause my kids were out there too, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it's whenever I hate him the entire movie because he is how he is. But that scene up, you kind of understand. It's like, okay, now I get it. It's like anybody can die up here. And
well, because they actually see the shark this time too, and it's huge. You know,
that too. Yeah, the fact that the size factor. It's like this isn't that tiger shark you saw. Yeah, this is probably not double, but almost double the size of that.
I would say it's double. That thing's huge. Oh my gosh. But
that's the thing. You don't really get a whole, you get a good look at it later on, but even then.
Well, this is also when they first officially, he makes the mayor sign a voucher to.
Yeah. He's like, hey,
we're bringing in Quint.
Mm-hmm.
Calling.
We're bringing in Hooper as well.
Yeah. And Hooper, he wants to hurt him, get us taken care of. Cause he's supposed to be going off on some long, I don't know,
Yeah, like retreat or something. Yeah, something where it's
basically just studying sharks out in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, exactly. What he's been doing anyway.
Yeah. But he gets pulled into this here. So they go, you know.
And Quint obviously wants to go alone, but Brody's insisting that him and Hooper come as well.
Yeah.
And that's what I love too. The forceful nature of like having to put all these three men that are very different together on this one mission that they all want to go on because for different reasons. Like obviously Brody wants to keep his town safe. I think Hooper just wants to, I don't know, maybe study the thing after. I honestly don't know where Hooper's coming from entirely. And then Quint just wants to kill it because it's a shark.
Well, from what I was reading here, Robert Shaw, who plays Quint, was very tough to work with.
Really?
Yeah, there was he.
He seems like the most energetic on the set, at least in the movie, in the film.
He's got a huge drinking. He had a huge drinking problem.
Really?
Yeah, and the scenes. I think that it's the scenes between him and Hooper when they're in that I don't know Quint's house. I guess I don't know what it was.
By the way, that was a joke on the drinking problem thing because it seems like he would have one.
Yeah, and well, I guess there was real tension between Hooper and Quint, the actors.
The actors, yeah.
And they were really like, you know, hey. But I know there's one scene when we come back up with Quint.
That is kind of funny because it does go across in the film that they don't like each other until the one moment where they're all getting drunk.
And they need each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says here, Robert Shaw and Richard Dreyfuss could not stand each other, and the other two argued all the time, which resulted in some good tension between Hooper and Quint.
Yeah, that works for the film.
Yeah,
honestly, especially you feel all of that until the point where Quint tells his story, and then it all makes sense.
Well, that and that story originally they had to film that twice. Quint almost that Robert Shaw almost got fired because the first time they filmed that scene, he was so drunk. He could barely speak. He was, you know, was slow. Blah, 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 blah. He could barely talk. So they were just going to do away with that whole scene and the whole thing with Quint. But
that's kind of insane because it's like the best scene of the movie.
Well, then he realized the next day how much he screwed up, and he basically went back and he begged him, "Hey, give me one more chance. Give me one more."
And
chance.
He went hard on it. Yeah.
And then they did that next scene. I think I'm not 100%, but I think they did that. The next take in like one take. And that's what made the movie.
I will say, even if he was doing it like slurred and drunk, that still would have added more context because he has to get drunk to tell the story because it hurts so much.
Well, I guess the first take, I mean, he was so drunk.
He was so drunk. You couldn't hear what he was saying. That makes sense. I mean, yeah.
You know,
but like, again, like he acts drunk in that scene, but like, it adds a lot to that character where the fact that he's probably never even told this story a whole lot to a lot of people.
And the thing is, I'm like, you've seen the shark. You know what you're out here hunting. Why are you getting drunk?
For both Brody and Hooper sense, I don't understand. They should be the smarter of the two. Quint, I get. Quint, he's like,
well, yeah, he's
he's like, and he's also he's like, I need a little liquor before I fight this thing. You know what I mean? Like he's skipping Ahab against the
white whale.
Yeah,
Moby Dick.
That Quint's whole story is like that a lot. It reminds me a lot of Moby Dick.
Yeah, you know, and he tells this story about the ship. Now the story. I was reading a lot of complaints that people, you know, that were in the military at that time and stuff. They were complaining that he changed the story a little bit. It wasn't exactly like he said it, but I thought that how he tells the story is very effective.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know it is based off of something that happened actually. And just knowing that based on what he says, it's we said this during the time when we were watching the movie. I think I told this to you. I was like, they should have made this the next movie. It should have been the story like of the young Quint in World War II and having to deal with this.
Yeah.
It would have been insane. And it would have been because especially after learning the story and like you feel insanely like you already I never liked Quint prior to this scene in the movie. I'm like, he's kind of annoying. He's this prick that thinks he's better than everybody. But then you understand where he comes from. You see where he's
just an old story
he's dealt with. Yeah.
And we find out that, you know, because of his experience on the USS Indianapolis, that's what he does, is he kills sharks.
Yeah. And he's basically just getting revenge every day in and day out.
I mean, and we see him when he's inside his, you know, I don't know, his house, whatever it was, he's bleaching shark jaws.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what he does. He kills sharks and makes money off of them. And the character, Robert Shaw, I like him. I think I got to say he's my favorite character in the movie.
If I had to rate them personally, it would go Hooper, Quint, and then Brody. Brody's just, again, like I said, he's the most simple of them all. I think the what I like about Hooper is he's the most entertaining character to watch in the movie.
And he has no fear of sharks. That's why.
Yeah, and it's also the fact that it's like he's coming from everything more of a science perspective, less than like a normal man or a. I don't want to say quote unquote crazy man, but a man that's going further beyond than everybody else. He's only in it to kill these sharks. That's all he's in it for.
Yeah. And
it's so interesting getting these three different men and just putting them on a boat together and having them do this one mission.
Well, you know what the plus side is that because Quint's dead, the town doesn't have to pay him $13,000 or $10,000.
Yeah. But if I was Hooper and Brody, it'd be like, fess up, you know, yeah. I want 5,000 each. All right. This is hard.
Do you remember Finding Nemo?
Oh, yes. Love that. I watched it recently for the first time in years since I was like a child, like 6 or 7. And I loved it still. Yeah.
Well, you know that shark that's in Finding Nemo, his name is Bruce. Right?
Yeah, Bruce. Yeah.
Well, that's what the name of Jaws, the shark in Jaws is. They called him Bruce.
Oh, so is that what that's why they named him that? That's really funny.
Kind of like an homage. And Steven Spielberg gave the shark, the mechanical shark, the nickname Bruce, to name him after, kind of, because that's what his lawyer's name was Bruce.
Why the lawyer?
Shark.
You have a close relationship with his lawyer?
Nah, I think it's probably the opposite.
That's what I was like, what? Oh, he's a shark. Okay, yeah. I get it. That's funny. That is funny.
But yeah, they get they're out there, and it's earlier in the movie, I think, is when Brody's out there chumming the water. He's just
it's a little before the story,
and that's when the shark Bruce raises his head out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Brody backs up and is like, "You're gonna need a bigger boat.
You need a bigger boat." That's the most iconic line of the movie.
That is
for sure. That's what I knew about this movie was. We're gonna need a bigger boat. He backs up. Yeah, I've seen like Lego animated clips of this. I mean, like, that's the iconic scene of this movie.
Yeah,
when they start doing the barrel stuff, right?
Well, that's later on. But while they're down there drinking, doesn't the shark rams the boat? Right. Yeah. Because
as soon as the head emerges, it rams the boat. And then as soon as it rams the boat, that's when Quint starts barking like at everybody starting to do everything. That's when they shoot the barrels at him for the first time.
Yeah.
And I think they try to hit him with three barrels at one time, and they only get one. I'm pretty sure.
I think they eventually get three barrels on him, but yeah, first you get one. And I think when they were going for that. I think they were going for the first one. Hooper had the bright idea to put a tracking beacon or something inside one of the arrow tips or whatever.
Yes.
So that's why they couldn't get the second hit off or something like that. But yeah.
And after that, they have the whole drinking scene pretty much.
Yeah, the one barrel is supposed to be enough to keep a normal shark up because, you know, a huge barrel is full of air. The shark can go under, but it can't stay under. It eventually brings it back up. You know, then they hit it with a barrel and then another barrel. But there's so much in between this, you know, the tension. I mean, you have so much going on. You know, they're trying to, there's that one point where they're telling him to, he tells him to tie him off to the riggers on the back of the boat.
Yes, and that's when he that's when Hooper gets like caught in between them too,
yeah,
right?
And yeah. Boy, that would have cut him in half there.
Luckily they cut it off in time, so it doesn't, yeah. But like, yeah, it would have easily cut off his leg.
Because the shark starts dragging the boat around.
Yeah, that's when, yeah. Like, this was so funny too, because like, I mean, you said it before, at one point they get even 3 barrels on the thing and it still doesn't even do anything to it. It's still moving.
Still swimming around like it's nothing. Dude, this shark is a pain in the ass.
It's funny because like this shark is just a great white, but it acts like it's the Meg. Like it acts like it's something bigger than it is.
Well, I mean, I don't even know how big. I wouldn't
be surprised if this shark pulled up in a Godzilla movie. You know what I mean? Like it has kaiju energy.
Well, maybe he thinks he's a kaiju, but he's a little bit small for Godzilla.
Hey, you know, something can happen to him. Some radioactivity, he get big.
Good, I guess. I don't know.
So yeah. Happened to the 2000 Godzilla, that shrinky dink little lizard.
they had like, I think, 3 different sharks, you know,
kaijus?
Models of Bruce.
Oh, that they used. Okay.
And each one of them cost like, I think, like $250,000. So, I mean, in the 70s, that's a lot of money, man.
I know it was a huge thing with the shark about this movie because, like, originally it was going to be shown a whole lot more than what it was, but they had a whole lot of technical difficulties with it, like under the water, like it was always short now or whatever. And so it became more of like a horror movie, like where you barely see the bad guy until the moment where he strikes at you. Like, and that's why I feel like this movie is kind of a success. Because otherwise I feel like it would just be like, oh, you're just seeing this shark all around the whole time.
Yeah, I was reading here, Robert Shaw, the guy who plays Quint, ran into trouble with the IRS and he had to flee the country. Once his scenes were completed. And that's why he didn't make any money off of this movie.
Yeah, because he wasn't here.
I mean, that's, you know, that's what basically they're like, hey, we're going to take all of your royalties and everything from Jaws and we'll call it even.
Oh, like IRS did?
Yeah. But, dang. And that's kind of, because this is like a, everybody loves this movie. I mean, come on, dude.
Look, I mean, you know my opinion on taxes, you know, screw him, but like, that's insane. They took his entire life.
Yeah, because he would have been a very wealthy man.
He would have been set for life, probably.
Oh, absolutely.
Dang. That sucks, too, because, like, I've never seen this actor in anything else, but this role in this whole movie, it's probably his peak, bad guess.
Yeah, I haven't seen him. You know, has he been in anything else? Let me see here. Robert Shaw, where are you at? Because he has that, he has to have been on other stuff. Let me see.
I'm looking now, and from what I can see, it's nothing I know. From Marshall with Love.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's a James Bond movie, James so Bond. That's a big thing. He was in this movie called The Deep.
Yeah.
Another undersea movie. Nothing I know
of. A lot of old action movies. Sinbad, The Sting. He's a lot of.
Yeah, he's like an older actor.
Yep.
Bad pretty cool, old. To be honest.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, he's my favorite character, you know, and that's why he reminds me a lot of my best friend, Mark.
Oh, wait, he was actually in the Second World War.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And, you know, him being an old salty dog. And I think that's why he's my favorite character in this movie.
No, he's, I feel like he definitely gives the best performance out of everybody. Hooper's, Hooper's really good too, but he's really good in this movie.
No.
And it sucks now knowing that he didn't get any money off of this.
Yeah, I know. Now the boat that they go out on, Quint's boat, is called the Orca. And I guess there's times throughout the movie where the name on the back of the boat, it changes because they kept using different boats.
Oh, right, really? That's funny.
Like the font of the word orca changes on the back of the boat.
But that makes sense that he would call it Orca, because isn't Orca supposed to be the shark killer?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think, so that makes sense. I think shortly after this, they made a movie called Orca, which is kind of...
See, the only experience I have with orcas is Killer Whale, or not Killer Whale, what's it called? Free Willy. Oh, so yeah. I just think of a nice, sweet orca, but I'm sure they're not all sweet.
Oh, no. They're...
They are called killer whales.
Yeah, they're killer whales. They kill sharks. I mean, they can kill sharks. Yeah. So, but in that movie Orca, there was, I don't know, it takes place in, I don't know, Alaska or some shit like that. Washington.
You know what would be awesome is that they should make another orca and place it in SeaWorld where it escapes and starts killing people.
Yeah, well, I think they got, I think, didn't they get rid of the orcas at SeaWorld because that one killed that one lady?
No, I think they killed multiple people. You gotta watch Blackfish to get the full story. But besides that, it's I'm pretty sure they still have orcas there. Really? Yeah.
In this movie, I know I remember watching it. I gotta watch that movie Orca again because it's been a long time. I know that they kill the mother's baby, and so then
goes crazy. Okay,
and starts killing everybody.
Gotcha.
But
1977, man, that's pretty old.
Oh, that, well, I am pretty old, you know.
I gotta watch it though. Seems interesting.
Yeah, this, you know, we're coming to the end, toward the end of this movie here, where, you know, it's like the final battle scene. You know, Hooper, for some, because he comes up with this idea that he's gonna get all these tranquilizers and these drugs. He's like, if I can get this thing in these drugs in its mouth, we can.
By the way, at this point, the boat is like filling with water. Yeah, like it's they're on the last boat, but they're on the last breath. They have to do something.
Well, Hooper decides to go down in a damn shark cage.
Mm-hmm.
A dinky small little shark cage, and
they build with hands. Like, it doesn't seem safe.
You see the size of the shark, you're like, there's no way I'm getting that damn thing.
Yeah, I know. You know, he could wrap his mouth around the entire thing.
Oh yeah, Bruce tears it up, and Hooper makes it to safety at the bottom, you know, hiding behind some coral or something like that.
Yeah, and then the shark becomes too busy with the two up top.
Yeah, and now we missed a part earlier in the movie. Brody is trying to, I don't know, he's getting something, and he accidentally knocks over all these tanks of air. And Hooper yells at him. It's like,
you're going to blow us up. Yeah.
And this is where it comes with a bright idea. You know, after Bruce eats Quint.
That's well, he's losing his grip on the boat and he slides down.
Yeah.
It's a terrible death, man. I feel, and it's even worse because you find out the whole story, Brian. It's like, this is the one thing he did not want to die by a shark.
And that whole him just sliding down, you're like, dude, grab something, grab onto him.
Yeah. God, like, you're hoping, but like, you know, it's one of those things where like, yeah, he couldn't grab.
He slides right into Bruce's mouth and, you know. He's dead.
Yeah, it's a bad death. I feel bad for him.
But then Bruce has one of these air tanks lodged in his
Yes, dog. yes. Brody shows it in.
Brody has this bright, bright idea. I'm gonna blow the shark up.
Yeah, he's like, I got this, because he still has a rifle.
Yeah, and you know, in reality, those things don't blow up like that.
Look, yes, you're right, but this is a movie, so
now if you did shoot it. Or break off the top of it, it would shoot off like a missile, but it wouldn't necessarily blow up because it's just filled with O2. I mean, they're scuba tanks. Yeah,
we all know this doesn't happen in real life, but you know.
You got to make it exciting, I guess.
And how else are we going to kill this thing at this point? Like,
yeah, I mean, there's no way.
Yeah, I mean, this is the only way, apparently.
You know, and they, Brody... He shoots a few times, but then finally he gets it.
Yeah, he aims right at the air tank, and then
And then you just see from the water all these
just a gigantic explosion of blood and chunks. Just blood. It's pretty good. It's pretty great. It's pretty honestly. When I saw it, I was like, "This is awesome! Like, this is a good moment."
Well, you know what I thought? I was like, "Oh, great! Now you're gonna have more sharks in the water."
Oh, because of the blood. Yeah, but they're not, here's the thing. They will come in, but they're not going to be anywhere near as a problem as this one.
No.
Yeah.
But then Hooper makes it back up, and they're like, oh, look,
yeah. And then he's like, Brody's like, oh, crap. And then they get on their little raft. They start swimming back. And they're like, how long is this going to take? It's like, who knows? And they just keep going.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's the end. You know, that's.
Yeah.
there's this movie. It's iconic. It's an icon. It's one of those movies that,
I mean, like I said prior, it created a blockbuster. It's one of those movies that I feel like you have to watch just because it isn't like there are references to it in every other movie you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. This is the first time I'd ever seen it. And again, it was one of those things where like kind of it didn't ruin the movie, but it was one of the, like I knew a lot of things that were going to happen because of pop culture, because people just talk about the scenes in this movie. But it was still really good. I liked it a lot.
Yeah,
it was very entertaining. The actors are great in it, at least the main three, you know.
This movie is directly responsible for putting the fear of
the fear of sharks in you. Not the fear of God, but the fear of sharks.
Not just into me, into a whole generation of kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all
grew up
with galeophobia because of this movie.
I mean, it's the same thing like whenever it came out. I'm sure there was thousands of kids that were like, I'm never going to get near a clown again in my life.
Well, as long as you stay away from clowns that are in a damn sewer, you're okay.
You're right. The sewer is his main thing. He's also in bathrooms, though. He's under bridges. He's in a lot of places.
Well, we all float down here. That's all I got to say.
Oh, no. Not Pennywise. Amazing.
Heck yeah. Yes. Now, this movie Jaws from 1975, Kelvin, overall, what did you think about it? This old people movie.
It lived up to what I honestly, which is surprising to me, but it did live up to what everybody thought of it. Like the main three actors were amazing. They all did killer performances. The shark itself was horrifying. And especially, like I said, the scene where he eats Clint. I'm like, damn, that's really sad for his character. But yeah, overall, it was a great movie. Like, yeah. I'm surprised I hadn't seen it prior to this moment. Now, I say it's amazing, but it's one of those things where you make a great movie and then they just killed it with sequels, because all I know is that the sequels are terrible.
I think part two is good.
Okay. I've never seen it, but I've heard.
I don't remember. I'm pretty sure part two is good, but then part three is in 3D and then part four takes place in the Bahamas and, and it goes on and on and on and on. And I haven't seen those other ones in a long time, so I might actually revisit those. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, it's the same thing with like the Jurassic Park movies, in my opinion. The first one's the only real one to watch. The rest are kind of just fun popcorn movies, kind of.
They kind of just want to make money off it, you know? Hey,
over here. Because you have one good, really good idea. Like this movie, Jaws, it's a really good idea. And then you kind of don't have any other original good ideas after that, so they just kind of make blech.
Even though you can tell it from in scenes in this, you can tell the shark is fake, obviously.
Yeah, of course. No, yeah. Like, I know the entire time the shark is fake, but that doesn't take away from my stress for the other characters in the scene. Because I'm like, they're dealing with this thing.
And that's what makes the movie carry through, in my opinion, is because the actors are carrying this movie. The shark is just that scary shadow off in the corner.
It
really doesn't, you know, it doesn't really come out to attack until toward the end. So for the whole movie, you have to rely on these actors.
Exactly. That point, you care about them so much that when they're in danger, you're like, oh, no, I don't want them to die. Get away.
Yeah. But, you know, Hooper and Brody survived.
True. That is the thing. Out of three characters, two of them survived. So that's pretty good innings. But I didn't want Quinn to die. Not the way he died either. It makes sense, though, for the story that, like, he would have a tragic death like that. I get it. It makes sense, but man, I feel bad for him because that sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. You know, but he had to take off. You know, he was running from the IRS, so
he said bye. And he just slipped right down the shark's throat.
You know, but yeah, I mean,
said I'm going to Cuba.
There was I've seen all kinds of how they made this mechanical shark, and how they had so many problems with it because they tested it so many times, but they never tested it in salt water, I think. So when they got it in salt water, it started having issues. And
why wouldn't you test it in the water that you're going to be filming in?
It's Hollywood.
Yeah, they don't think about these things. Come on, Spielberg. This is one of his first movies too, so I get it.
Yeah, I mean, but Steven Spielberg, I mean, iconic.
This movie, I feel like, is what made him become what he is now.
Yeah, I mean, he had E.T., you know, Saving Private Ryan, Indiana Jones.
All Indiana Jones, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, he's done great things. after this.
Yeah.
And
didn't he produced Back to the Future, didn't he?
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure he produced it. I'm pretty sure he had like a heavy hand in Back to the Future.
I know he was an executive producer on Bumblebee, and he even was involved with
involved with a lot of the Transformers movies.
The new Transformer movie too, and some Jurassic Parks.
He was involved with the original, like 2007 one. He was involved with the Jurassic, or not the Jurassic, the Rise of the Beast one. And he was involved with the Jurassic
Real Steel too.
Wait, what? I didn't know that. The Real Steel, I actually like that movie.
He says he's an executive producer on Real Steel.
That's a fun movie.
Yeah, that's good. I like that movie. Executive producer on Monster House. That's a good movie too. Yeah, wow.
See, Steven's just one of those maestros, I feel. Like he understood what he was doing from a young age, and he just implemented it into his work every time. He's a master. He's a master at his work.
Yeah, and there's few directors that put out these iconic movies and they last, and you know they carry on.
A recent, like one of my probably my favorite director of all time. I've said this before, but Edgar Wright. You would know him. He's made Shaun of the Dead. He wrote Hot Fuzz. He did World's End. He wrote Ant-Man, but he didn't direct it because he got fired because he quit is basically what happened. But he's one of those directors too. Like everything that I feel like he's worked on, it's been great.
Yeah, I mean, there's these directors out there that, like, you know, we got like Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, of course.
Frank. I mean, there's so many of these directors that have built these iconic movies that we've grown up with. Even, you know, people my age, even people your age have grown up with these movies.
I mean, like Hitchcock, his movies are like a lot of people don't, but like still people still grow up with Hitchcock movies. Oh, same thing with Kubrick. Kubrick. There's also the new generation too. Like people like Nolan and Guillermo del Toro. Like,
yeah.
There's always people making new great art. And that's why I appreciate about like stuff like this. It's like, obviously I've never watched Jaws until now recently, but I can still understand the artistry and like the beauty, even if it's older, it's still a great movie.
Yeah. And there's so many, like you said before, there's so many parodies or scenes from Jaws.
So many.
Through everything.
So many.
But this movie, I love this movie. Even though it made me afraid of sharks
forever. Yeah.
Even going to the beach, I'm always looking, you know, looking in the water to see if I see any shadows, you know. But I love this movie. I think it's a great movie. I love that. I think the actors carried this greatly. Even though the monster didn't really come in until the end.
But even then, I think that's what adds to it, honestly.
It does.
Because you're like I said, you're building with these people that you learn to care about, and then you have to throw them into just the sea with this terrifying creature.
Oh yeah. And that's why it's one of the reasons why I love this movie still. And and I'll probably actually
Picked it up, I'm gonna watch this for years now, probably.
Good. And when you have kids, you can be like, look, guys, this is what lives in the ocean.
Honestly, I'm gonna do that with Liam. Be like, watch out for this.
But Kelvin, right. Once again, I want to thank you for joining me on this episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Now you headed off to a movie tonight. What are you gonna see?
Before sunrise, there's a screening for it, and we're watching it all together.
What's it?
It's a sunrise. It's a romance movie.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Nice.
Look, I like it. It is a good movie. It's one of those films that like the two actors in it were basically just doing improv the entire time, so it feels really like real. That's what I like about it personally.
Before Sunrise. Oh.
Yeah, that's what it is. It should be.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think so. It's in the 90s. It has Ethan Hawke in it.
Ethan Hawke, yeah. Oh, okay. Yep, well, I like Ethan Hawke.
It's a trilogy.
Oh, nice. Oh, well, I'm going to check it out then. Jeez.
All right.
Romance drama. Maybe not. I don't know.
I was like, it is a romance.
I don't know. Anyway,
it's good though. It's good.
Thanks once again.
Yes, of course. Anytime. I love being out here.
And everybody out there, sweet dreams and love, peace, and chicken grease.
Talk to you later.
Later, Tater. And that's going to do it for the day. Thanks for hanging out with me and letting me bend your ear for a while. Ain't no time for bed shine. And until next time, don't forget. You're wrong.
Later, Tater.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night and God bless America.